Good evening. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock. And we are in the midst of working our way through the American Book of the Dead, the guidebook by E.J. Gold. It's not exactly a reading that we're doing, but rather, it's not even an exploration. What it is a presentation. And what we have is, we have a group of, I don't know how many people do we wind up with, Dan, from time to time? 20 maybe? 15? 15 to 20, and there's like 5 or 6 people here. And what we do is we have taken and created subgroups. And that subgroup is like our fellow searchers after the truth, and they gather together to study in depth each of the various books. We've had the work with the book 1, book 2, and now we're starting to open the door for book 3. And here's the thing that I had is that our role here as a group, and I think part of the reason I want to like to know how many people are there, Dan, is because I want to know what the body is. What is it now? So this group forms a alchemical body. We are a form. And we are being in part molded by the subgroup. They become the guide for us. Now, there's a number of ways to look at that, and I think it's important to pay attention now. It's important to pay attention in, let's just say, with your whole body sensing attention, because what we're doing, the subgroup has created the space to allow somebody to come in, and it takes 20 of us to hold the space. So your role is very important tonight. So please pay attention to your role as a recipient. And if you, at a certain point, notice when the presence starts to arrive, what it feels like in your sensing body. Your sensing body will change, and you'll notice certain things that are different from the physical manifestations that normally occur with you. And that's what I want you to consider, because tonight we have made it to the third book of the dead called the Book of Ul-Malik. And that's our opening.
Confronting the clear light. Now I am experiencing the clear light of objective reality. Nothing is happening. Nothing ever has happened or ever will happen. My present sense of self, the Voyager, is in reality the void itself, having no qualities or characteristics. I remember myself as the Voyager, whose deepest nature is the clear light itself. I am one. There is no other. I am the voidness of the void, the eternal unborn, the uncreated, neither real nor unreal. All that I have been conscious of is my own play of consciousness, a dance of light, the swirling patterns of light in infinite extension, endless endlessness, the absolute, beyond change, existence, reality. I, the Voyager, am inseparable from the clear light. I cannot be born, die, exist or change. I know now that this is my true nature.
Third Book of the Dead, called the Book of Ul-Malik. I am he who is independent of existence, my essence, and my qualities. But upon me, is everything that is in existence dependent? Without me, nothing can exist in form. As each thing in existence derives its attributes from one or more of its qualities. But I, myself, have no need for anything. I am above existence, and I am father to existence.
Two, this is the instruction for the second stage of transit, in which the apparitions and illusions begin to appear. And now, the slow unwinding process of the five elements of consciousness will appear as if they are guides of the transit world.
Three, and even though he has, in the primary and secondary clear lights, failed to liberate himself, it is still possible to attain spontaneous liberation even at this stage.
Four, and it shall come to pass that in the second stage, when the illusions begin, that he will see his portions of food being eaten by others, and he will see the body being stripped of its outer garments, and he will see the shroud prepared to clothe him, and he will see his bed cleaned and his bedroom emptied, and all his friends and relatives will move about and disturb his rest, and he will abound with sadness at the grief, and he will be saddened also at the removal of his place in the household.
Five, and it will seem to him that he has been forgotten by his friends and relatives, and he will see his possessions scattered, and his influence and power shall be dispersed among the public.
Six, and he will hear sounds and see lights and feel radiations, and he will become awed and frightened unless he recognizes these to be his own sounds, his own lights, and the radiations of his own primal elements of pure consciousness.
Seven, and he will become fatigued with exhaustion, and he will become terrified and try to escape unless they are recognized by him as forms of his own consciousness.
Eight, and this is the time at which the confrontation with reality must be applied.
Nine, and this is the confrontation with reality which must now be read to him.
10. Now you must listen and not become distracted. There are six states in the transit condition in all. There is the state of uncertainty of the moment of death. There is the state of uncertainty during the confronting of reality as it is. There is the state of uncertainty during the ecstasy of clarity of consciousness. There is the state of uncertainty while in the dream state of life. There is the state of uncertainty during the inverse process of reformation of consciousness, creating the world of matter and energy while seeking rebirth. And finally, there is the state of uncertainty while in the womb and awaiting rebirth.
11. Thus have you heard the six states of uncertainty, and in the states of transit, you shall experience three major changes, major stages. The three stages of transit are these. The first stage of transit consists of the moments of death and the primary clear light and secondary clear light of reality. The second stage of transit consists of the period during which the five primary elements of consciousness separate and form images of guides. And at the stage of separation, they shall appear as harmless and friendly, but as they reform into a new world image, they shall appear violent and aggressive. As they reform around the centralized consciousness, they shall cause terror and awe. And he who sees himself in this way shall be overcome by terror and fear, and he shall take rebirth without discrimination. But he whose ego has ceased to remain centralized, he shall not blindly choose rebirth, but shall remain in the higher state until either liberation or a well-chosen rebirth shall present itself.
12. And though you were confronted with the clear light of reality, you were unable to remain within it, and so you have come into the next state.
13. Now you are going to experience the remaining two stages of transit, the stage of apparitions and the stage of seeking rebirth.
14. Give now your undistracted attention. Death has come to that body which you have occupied, and you are departing from this world. And you are not the only one who has departed from this world.
15. Death comes to all, and he who clings to life in this world out of desire and longing or weakness shall lose the world.
16. And even though you try to cling to this world, you have no energy to remain within it. You will not profit by it. You will simply wander as a ghost within this world of matter. Do not hold on to it.
17. Whatever fear, confusion, and uncertainty may in this stage of transit come to you, do not neglect the teaching, nor become enamored in the false, and believe in my reality and in the reality of the truth.
18. Here now is the vital secret of recognition, which I shall say to you. Pray with me.
19. When the fear of uncertainty overcomes me, and when the reality of reality fills me with awe, with all thoughts of terror, fear, and confusion set aside, I will recognize the nature of the visions in the transit world, and I shall not within them become lost, nor with the mind of matter believe in their reality.
20. And at this all-important moment, may I never fear the forms of my consciousness.
21. And these verses must be clearly repeated, and their significance must be remembered. And realizing the nature of the visions, they are recognized as the vital secret of the heart.
22. Now, when the body and the consciousness were separating, there appeared at least a glimpse of the truth absolute. And it was subtle, brilliant, dazzling, and awesome in appearance. And it was like a mirage moving across the desert sands.
23. And it appeared in a continuous stream of vibration, both expanding and contracting at the same time, and it was recognized as the radiance of your own beingness, and the terror was brought down by such knowledge.
24. And from the midst of that radiation, the natural sound of reality rumbling and reverberating as the sound of a thousand thunders came to you.
25. Now that sound is not a sound to provoke fear. It is the sound of the luminous void as you hear yourself in the void. It is your sound, heard by yourself alone.
26. And the body you have now is called the body of habits. Now, since the body is of spirit and not of material flesh and blood, whatever comes to you now as sounds, lights, or radiations are all unable to cause you harm.
Now, in this time, you should allow them to come to you. You cannot die. And the more you resist, the more they will come to you. Now, you shall not die. He who resists shall die again. But he who allows the forms to come and have their way, he shall not taste death again here.
28. And it shall be enough for you to know that these visions are your own forms of consciousness as they break apart from your divine being.
29. And it shall be enough to know that the force caused in your consciousness and the fear aroused in you have been formed by exposure to the time stream in the world of matter.
30. And it shall come to pass that you shall remember your place in the world of transit, and you shall know yourself to be in the world of transit.
31. Now, if the sounds, lights, and visions are not recognized as the echoes of your own primal forms of consciousness, then no matter how you have prepared for it during the last lifetime, whether through meditation or devotion or prayer while in the human world, if you have not now recognize this knowledge, the lights shall overwhelm you and the sounds shall fill you with terror and awe, and the radiation shall confuse and shock you.
32. And if you cannot recognize this state because you have not practiced in life, then you shall fall down and be cast down into the six worlds of material existence once again. And if you cannot recognize...
Thank you.
felt this moment. It is divinity itself. Whether it appears harsh or pleasant, lonely, trust that you are the shining light of endlessness. And as the book of Al-Malik says, it shall be enough for you to know that these visions are your own forms of consciousness as they break apart from your divine being. It is not possible to translate the names and attributes from the original Arabic into English. However, there are some close approximations for Ul-Malik, the king, the divine one, the sovereign lord, the one with complete dominion, the one whose dominion is clear from imperfection. Ul-Malik is one of the 99 names of God that are spoken of in the Quran. He to whom the kingdom of heaven and the earth belongs. Exalted be Allah, the King, the real. There is no God but Him, Lord of the noble throne. High exalted be the King, the real. In the first book of Ul-Malik, we are introduced to the one who is independent of existence, but upon whom we are dependent. Everything in existence is dependent. Without Ul-Malik, nothing can exist. And as each thing in existence derives its attribute, the first book encountered by E.J. Gold was the autobiography of a Sufi. At that time, the name was Pir al-Rashid, which translates as the wilderness. I felt that it was important in this presentation of this book that some background of Islam be presented, particularly of the Sufi path. For them, Allah is described through His names and attributes. By studying these names and the associated attributes, it is one way of strengthening one's relationship with the divine. Each name and attribute nourishes a kind of consciousness and humility, and their study leads one to constantly seek to embody those attributes, as we learned about compassion through each of the divine attributes has a practical relevance and implication in our day-to-day life. In the Islamic tradition, one is asked to call upon God during their prayers by the most appropriate name in a way that relates to what they are seeking to embody or what they are asking for. The mystic philosopher Ibn Abi, who was a contemporary to Muhammad, said that the 99 names of the divine are the outward signs of the universe's inner mysteries. These mysteries are altered states or gateways that one can enter into as they journey towards the beloved. In this tradition, there are four gates. The first gate is the gate of the law. The second gate is the gate of the dervish. The third gate is the gate of awareness, and the fourth gate is the gate of reality. So by studying these books with their names and attributes, we are able to strengthen our own relationship to the divine. In the Islamic tradition, they do not have the idea of incarnation. For most of us raised in the sort of Christian, Judeo-Christian, with the idea of the incarnation, God becoming man, we have this idea of the divine embodied. This is not in their tradition. And so what becomes important is transmission. The messenger, the angel Gabriel, gives the message to Muhammad. He receives it as an oral transmission. So the importance of transmission and of the books of knowledge plays a much bigger role in the Islamic tradition. If you would wish to know more about Al-Washi, the wilderness, I encourage you to look at the book The Autobiography of a Sufi and The Joy of Sacrifice. Both books were written in the 70s, at about the first time, and correct me if I'm wrong, David or Patricia, this was the first, my understanding, this book that we're working from it was the first manifestation of the ABD. So how are we to approach the divine if it does not embody in the world?
Tamara, sorry to interrupt you. I think we've been knocked off the air broadcast. So start, okay. Save your place so when we're back on, you can begin from there.
Okay, thanks, George.
Did you hear that, my bad? I think we're off the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Grant. I got on, and indeed the screen is frozen.
Yep, just happened. Grant, everything was going fine until you arrived.
Well, you know. It must be that New York City traffic that I just brought up.
Hey, don't feel too flustered. We appreciate your presence.
Thank you.
So did you hear about the reference to the earliest books of autobiography?
Yeah.
We heard up to the books, yep.
Okay, great. Okay.
Boy, I don't show that, it hasn't started rebroadcasting yet.
No, she had to reboot.
No.
Move the camera on, I'm sorry.
No, it was Grant.
Okay.
Grant.
It was Malik in the form of Grant.
Yeah. Ooh, Malik.
Yes, the wilderness, yes.
Yes, the wild. We're still recording.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Let's try.
Well, this kind of reminds me of while we're reading the voice.
Are you back up?
Not yet. You know, Tamara, you could almost start right at the beginning of the four gates when we are back on the air.
Doesn't appear to be booting back up.
Does it look like it's back up, guys?
Not yet.
There you are. You're on the air now.
Oh, okay. So
we're going to start again.
We're picking up again. As you notice, the two songs that we heard, the first one was Hymn of Endlessness, and the second one was the theme of Al-Washi. There is a lot of repetition, but there's also moments of silence. So we have experienced that repetition and endlessness, and yet here we are again. So I'm just going to review the four gates throughout tonight and then the two following presentations. These gates are open for you to access. The first is the gate of the law, that is the understanding of how this teaching functions in a practical way and how one can be law-conforming. The second is the way of the dervish. And as I spoke earlier, the dervish, and it speaks in the book Om Alik about the mirage. You are the subject of the divine book. Ask for yourself. It is you whom you are looking for. The third gate is the gate of awareness. It is only that pure essence that is made manifest in this book of being, where each word reveals a secret and each letter is engraved upon the face of being, illuminating your heart. And the fourth gate, the gate of reality. When the curtain of illusion fell, there was only one, no one but God. And so I will close tonight with a poem by the mystic Umar Ibn al-Farad. And for me, it helped me access the book of Om Alik. It is from the poem of the Sufi Way, and the title of this one is called No One Speaks. No one speaks unless his speech is from mine. No one sees but by the gaze of my eyes. No one listens unless listening by my ear. No one grasps but by my might and strength. No one is speaking, seeing, hearing in all of creation but me. In the composite world, I appear deep within every shape and every form, adorning them with beauty. While in every subtle sense not revealed by my visible guise, I was conceived and formed, but without a body's shape. Yet in what the spirit sees clairvoyantly, I was purified, concealed from this subtle sense, confirmed in the mercy of expansion. All of me is a wish, expanding wide the hopes of humanity. While in the dread of contraction, all of me is awe. Wherever I cast my eye, I am honored by joining both attributes and qualities. All of me approaches, come, draw near to my inner beauty, for in the end place of in, I am still found with me. My majesty of witness arises from my perfect nature. And where there is no in, I still witnessed within me the beauty of my eternal, endless existence without an eye to see. Thank you for joining us for the book of Om Alik. I'm going to turn it over to David. And we will be continuing next for the next 2 weeks with
Omar. So recognize the efforts of our fellow voyagers who have gone into the world of Ul-Malik and have presented with the first part of the gate. You've opened up the first portion of it. We are the recipients, and in a sense, Our job is to hold the space so that once, now it is slightly possible for Ul Malik to look around and to be here and see this is what the manifestation is. And it's a chance for that manifestation to occur. So for us, we're going to hold the space. So as you go about, as we close now, we're going to close a little bit early. So we're going to close and hold the space that you have now that's presented to us by our guides and allow it to soak in and remember it. See where it is inside you right now. Mark that space. We'll bring it back again next week at Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
For the benefit of all beings.
Good night.